Thank you, Rob. It is a download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we reload this week's news with Amanda Vinicky and Tina Spondelis. 312-981-7200. Love that segment. Love talking about what happened this week. This is going to be some good conversations. So many things that happened this week that may not rise to the level of, wow, that is a huge story, but are very interesting, intriguing, and set up stories for later down the road. So we'll have that conversation coming up at 8 o'clock. Well, infrastructure is front and center this week as the mayor announced a sprawling plan to renovate O'Hare Airport. This would be a monster project that would be funded in part by raising carrier costs and gate fees and borrowing against that new revenue. So in other words, no taxpayer dollars? I put a question mark on that because I really don't know. Also, flooding in Kankakee County last week, potholes popping up after snow, and of course, President Trump's infrastructure proposal last month, which is big on pushing public-private partnerships and getting the state to pay for more than usual. This state? The state of Illinois? Uh-oh. So if we want to get some projects funded, the formula on how we match federal money will force us, the state of Illinois, to come up with new revenue. That can mean anything from tolls on the Ike to a higher gas tax, to naming rights. Get ready for it's an hour from the Jane Byrne Interchange on the Burger King Gatorade Monster.com Kennedy Expressway. I have a feeling that's coming. In studio with me tonight to continue our look at how to improve our state and tackle the challenges in front of us when it comes to air, water, and land is Mary Sue Barrett, the president of the Metropolitan Planning Council. Mary Sue, good to see you.
Same here, Justin. Great to be back.
All right, so I kid about that, but I want to get into that. You know, really, this conversation, I want to get to some of the O'Hare stuff as well, but this really comes off of the Trump infrastructure proposal that came out last week or last month that really looked at changing the formula that federal and state matching dollars used to work with. I mean, the idea that if the state raised this much money, the federal government would match it, and how much federal government money was being given to the states, that's all changing, and that's really at the heart of what this proposal is about.
That's right. And of course, if you're a commuter, all you care about is getting the projects done. But during the campaign, then candidate Trump talked about $1 trillion, which none of us can quite get our brain around. And now this proposal is $1.5 trillion.
Wow.
Sounded encouraging. You know, those of us who live and work in cities in complicated regions like this global Chicagoland region perked up. But then the details came out, and as suspected, it really is about counting the total dollars, not new dollars from the federal government. So he's really looking to localities and states to step up. We've actually been in that environment, in that mode for a while. I call it the self-help era. The problem is that Illinois has not been getting with the program in the self-help era.
Because
more than 30 states have.
I was going to say, other states have. They've already accepted this is the future of the way that government funding is going to go, and we're going to change and adapt. Illinois is not there.
No, we're not. We're dragging our feet, and as the transportation crossroads of America, that has a huge price. One of the things the Metropolitan Planning Council does is put out analyses of the cost of various challenges. We've got a new report out last year about the cost of segregation.
Right.
A couple years earlier, the cost of gridlock, the cost of congestion. And so we know that inaction actually does drain our pocketbooks, but there's a sense of, you know, finger pointing of who's to blame. If anything, President Trump's package is a wake up call to say, okay, enough of the finger pointing. We have to come up with the revenues locally, and we're going to have to look at all options. That is about making this economy start humming. Remember that this is in the context of a state that's the slowest growing in the country.
Yeah. And that's used for political points when it comes to election season. But you can, but as you set it up right here, you can understand why. We're not playing by the rules that have been put forth for the 21st century. All right. O'Hare Airport's interesting, though, because this is a story that came out this week where a lease that has been in place or an agreement's been in place with American Airlines and United Airlines for 35 years or something like that, right? And it's coming up, and Mayor Emanuel, he seems to be in a position, not unlike what we're talking about, some of the other states. This is a progressive look at renovating something that we need and doing it in a way that gets the airlines to actually pay for it, the airport to pay for itself.
It is a great example and one we can draw lessons from for the rest of our transportation infrastructure. O'Hare International Airport is a gem. Company after company, cites O'Hare and the access to markets and locations as a primary reason why they're choosing to stay or expand or come here. So Mayor Emanuel and the Aviation Commissioner Ginger Evans really saw that once the runway reconstruction was moving towards completion, that the terminal side, the gates, all had to be modernized. And it's been a long time, so it's a very complicated plan, but this is something that the city can be the architect of, can push it forward,
right.
And it's going to take a long time, but we can figure out a way to finance that. That's the kind of approach that really the federal government is signaling to states and localities. We need to do that for our transit, for our bridges, for our roads, and for all of the other types of infrastructure like walking and biking that people want.
And there's such a correlation, an economic correlation, because when you talk about renovating O'Hare Airport, what you're really talking about when you're adding gates and refurbishing the terminal is being able to bring new customers through, meaning international. I heard the story today that I didn't even think about that is where the rage is at when it comes to money, is international travel and travelers coming through. So if more gates open up for international travel, it means more tourism, that means more economic opportunity, that could be more business that would locate in here in Chicago. There's a lot more than just making sure that the K wing of the Terminal 3 has a new Cinnabon.
Yes, it's not just about a good place to grab something before you get on your flight, right, or a pretty terminal. That's important too. If you've traveled internationally, you know that there's some airports that are very appealing to the traveling public, the flying public, but this is really about business. This is about dollars. In recent years, the city of Chicago has seen an uptick of visitors from 50 million to 53 million this past year. And that is, you can tie that directly back to improved access to markets, some of the amenities that have been enhanced, our Riverwalk, all of that together. Companies that are looking at locating here, whether it's the Amazon headquarters search, or less high profile, they all need access to these markets. Mm-hmm. And O'Hare is the first piece. But then let's connect it to, once you land at O'Hare, this amazing transit system that we have, but that we've been neglecting, is critical to getting people around the region, but especially to the central area where it's so pivotal and moving about two-thirds of the workers.
Okay, here's what we'll do. Let's take a quick break. We come back. I want to talk about that transit system. And it hasn't been in neglect, and it seems to be, when we talk about transit funding, especially for the CTA here in Chicago, it almost feels like it's the old model. As we're waiting for federal funding to come in to extend the Red Line, we're waiting for there's a modernization program, but we need the money from, I mean, we hear that over and over and over. And the question is, if we look at the way that business is moving in the 21st century when it comes to infrastructure, are there opportunities there to think about when it comes to rehabbing the CTA? Mary Sue Barrett's my guest tonight. She's the president of the Metropolitan Planning Council. We'll take a quick break, come back, continue. Stay with us. It's Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Mary Sue Barrett in the studio with me. She's the president of the Metropolitan Planning Council. Talking about infrastructure tonight here on the Download. We get together once. The Metropolitan Planning Council, you guys have been great. We've had a great relationship talking about these big ticket items and big issues in the state of Illinois in our Midwest region and solutions to move forward on. When we talk about infrastructure, well, here's a great way to, as we talked about, getting to the CTA. One of the things, though, the CTA seems to always be in a situation where when they need to fix something or think long term, it's a capital project. It's something that they need to raise money quick, and if they can't get the federal funds, oh geez, this is on the, we might not be able to modernize the Brown Line, all that kind of stuff. But as you think about sustainable revenue or this concept of new places to get money from, wouldn't it be smart, not unlike we do with schools, that there should be a budget that would say, okay, there's money, maybe it comes from tax, maybe it's an extra penny here or gas tax, whatever it is, but there's a space in which every year there's money set aside for projects like what I just mentioned?
What a radical idea, Justin, to have a game plan for things you know are going to be cropping up. The big ticket is actually maintaining what we've got. Not terribly exciting, but really critical to keeping the economy growing, which is something we haven't been able to do in this region. So maintaining, and then the projects that get people excited, of course, are the new ones. And you're right, if we're waiting for Washington or waiting for Springfield's peaks and valleys, we're paying too big of a price. So when you ask people about their hassles, which is something we're doing right now with a social media campaign called hashtag busted commute. Please send in your pictures, your videos, your stories on your favorite form of social media. And we're going to use that information to create this drumbeat for our local elected officials and our state leaders to get with this program of self-help. On transit, there are all sorts of ways you can measure the impact of a delay. When you can't get on that train, you have to wait for the third red line, or the blue line is broken down again. This is because of deferred maintenance. And so if we have a predictable revenue stream, the way any company would, we're going to be able
any household would.
Yep. We're going to be able to run a smarter city, region, and state. And so that kind of mindset shift.
Well, why is that not in place? Is it just because it's such a big political risk for leaders to say, oh, we're going to have to put a tax in for this, and maybe it's going to grow and grow and grow, but we may not need it. Like, why wouldn't the state of Illinois have an area that is for routine maintenance when it comes to these kind of projects?
You know, I think we're inching our way towards that, and because we're an independent, nonpartisan group, we work with everyone. I was a co-chair of Governor Rauner's infrastructure transition team. We work with elected officials of all stripes, near and far, and they all care about this issue. What we need to do is to create the political will. That's what Busted Commute is in part about, and show people the benefit. If I show you that you can save 8 minutes on your commute every day,
you'd pay for it.
That's
right.
That's
I'd
worth
pay
paying for.
I'd pay
10 absolutely
cents for that. Okay, so let's get to the I was kind of making the joke about public-private partnerships and what we can expect from, like, let's just use roads as an example. But we've seen public-private partnerships in selling the Skyway, and we've seen those tolls go up and up and up. But we saw as well, like, is it possible that we might see more toll roads in the area, maybe on the Stevenson or the Ike, that weren't there before, with the goal of raising revenue for projects like we're talking about?
Yes, it's possible. The idea is to give people lots of choices. So when bike lanes are put in place, or dedicated lanes for buses like we have downtown with bus rapid transit on Washington and on Madison, it's about giving everyone more choices. So if there's going to be a tolled lane in the future on the Stevenson or the Eisenhower, giving people an option to pay a little bit more to get there faster and predictably, again, that's a choice that many people are going to be quick to sign up for.
Yeah, I agree. But if the problem I have, just personally, I'm going to use myself as an Illinois resident, and if I have to take that Skyway and I'm getting to that toll at where it begins before the bridge, and I'm paying $7 to get on it. And every year it just seems to be going up and up and up, and I realize it's because it's a private road now. I feel it's the exact opposite feeling you're talking about. I don't feel like it's going anywhere. I just feel like I'm being taken advantage of.
Well, the problem is we haven't been straight with people about what things cost.
Yeah, right.
And so if maintaining a huge bridge costs hundreds of millions of dollars, we haven't been paying it for a long time, yes, it's gonna cost a lot to catch up. But again, let's put it in the context of this economic destiny. We're this global powerhouse. We've got companies that are looking to come downtown to expand, and to do that, we have to make this a system that works.
Yeah.
Think about the city of Chicago's North Lakefront. The Red-Purple Line modernization is one that we got a little bit of a slug of money right at the end of the Obama administration, but that's not the full price tag. We have to come up with more self-help measures. The city of Chicago gets a lot of credit for this value capture. It's an innovative financing tool that takes advantage of markets, real estate markets, getting stronger near transit, which is where people want to be.
Smart, yeah.
And uses some of that to pay for the transit system.
Well,
so we've got to use all these tools.
Yeah, and we'll continue this conversation, because I'm truly interested in why this issue is not bigger in the election cycle. Obviously, it's something that I think a lot of people think, oh. But it's not, especially if we can dress it up and be in a position where it can affect our lives. Mary Sue Barrett is the president of the Metropolitan Planning Council. She joins us once in a while. I get a lot of people from the Metropolitan Planning Council, but I don't get you. So it's great to have you back here on the show, talking infrastructure and what we might be seeing here in the near future. Mary Sue, good to see you.
Thanks, Justin. Let's get it done.